And let us now consider Gen Zers. Yep, that's your name, young people 14 to 22. If you are a Gen Zer or live with one, you know, for instance, that Zam is their damn.
Z is for Zam, which can usually be followed by Zaddy, also Z.
A is for Ayo, which is something I would say when something good happens. Like, I finally got a job. Ayo!
W is for What Are Those? It's a video from Vine where this kid walked around pointing at people's shoes that he thought sucked and said, What are those?
Unsult is a backhanded compliment, as in, you're very organized for a millennial.
Oh, snap. You just unsulted her. Those are some examples from the website A2GenZ.com, one of many popping up to interpret the language of Gen Zers, the demographic after the millennials. Phrases like on fleek, when someone is perfectly groomed or styled. Preach, when someone strongly agrees with someone else. But wait, those could already be out of favor. How would you know? Especially if you're a marketer looking to reach Gen Zers. Well, now there are consulting firms to help brands and companies do just that. And one is made up entirely of the demographic the companies are trying to reach. It's called Juve Consulting. Nick Jane is the co-founder and COO and a sophomore at Princeton University. Nick, how did you come up with this idea? What need are you filling?
At the end of the day, what it comes down to is that we live in a world where a lot of people are making decisions about Gen Z that affect Gen Z, but they're not talking to teenagers. I found myself a couple years ago at a couple White House roundtables and a few other rooms.
Wait. You found yourself at some White House roundtables. Tell me how that sentence came to be.
So I did an internship with the Muslim Public Affairs Council the summer after my junior year in high school because in my school I noticed like this increasing sense of Islamophobia and I really wanted to do something to combat that. There's a day that they invited me to come to a White House roundtable with the focus being tackling discrimination in schools. But then when I was sitting in the room and we're talking about, you know, how to reduce discrimination in schools, I realized that I was the only person under the age of 30 in that room. And how is that a feasible way to go about tackling discrimination in schools and to create policy that will impact millions of youth throughout the country if there are no youth even present to have their voice be heard in the conversation? It was places like those and situations like those that really made me realize that there is a need to empower Gen Z voices across the country, regardless of their experience and background, and for them to have a voice in the decisions that are being made that will genuinely affect them for years to come.
We saw that after the Parkland shooting. I mean,
yeah, exactly.
But also, this is companies and brands. And boy, if anyone Googles, they will find every single huge advertising firm has a website specifically on how to talk to Gen Zers. And it's hilarious. You know that scene in the movie Airplane where the stewardess says she speaks jive, so she interprets for someone else? You probably don't remember that. But this is how it feels. It feels, you know, anthropological, like they're trying to speak of this subspecies of teenager that they don't understand at all. Is that where you come in?
That's exactly right. You know, the ideology that we tell our clients on a day-to-day basis is that it's not enough to pay a lot of money for research about Generation Z. What you really need to do to understand us is to engage us, is to include us in the conversation, and then you'll get a better understanding of who we are, and you'll actually be able to create products and advertisements and campaigns that really appeal to us and really relate to us.
Now, well, but how much are you a part then, inadvertently, of your generation being co-opted? You read deep into some of these papers. This particular article was talking about how in the past there was almost a trickery used to get, let's say, millennials. You'd put things on social media platforms and you'd say, hey, tell us your personal story about this, and you'd get somebody to click through and then come to a sales pitch. What this paper from the director of editorial strategy at Hill Holliday is saying, hey, the good news is you don't have to do that with Gen Z. They go directly to brands. They follow brands on Twitter and Instagram. Forget the golden age of television, which was used to sell to little boomer kids. There's never been a better captive audience than Gen Z because they are so locked into brands and into social media. Are you worried that you're participating in that view of Generation Z as just this thoughtless consumer base?
There are a lot of misconceptions about Generation Z, and one of those misconceptions is that we just buy everything we see on social media, that we follow these brands and we say, oh, they have a new product, oh, I'm going to buy it. And the truth is that if I see a brand posting advertisements, in the vast majority of cases, I will be able to recognize that that advertisement was posted by somebody that does not really know how to engage with social media in the same way that we do, that maybe is not as literate per se in social media. And as a result of that, like, we're actually much more skeptical of a lot of the things that are posted on social media. We're not just a Generation Z that clicks through and buys all these things that are posted on social media. But again, we're looking for a lot more.
Give me an example of something that's like just not authentic.
There was a commercial that I remember was posted on Generation Z, and it was meant to be clever. So I'm spacing on the brand right now, but essentially what they did is they put a black line on the screen that was a little hair. A lot of people would click on it to try to, like, wipe it off the screen. Mm. I mean, it's a really clever marketing technique, because when you tried to wipe it off the screen, it would take you to their website to buy their shoes. And they were like, okay, we're going to get a lot of Gen Zers with this, because they're going to go to our website. And then, you know, because they're already there, they're going to want to buy our shoes. But the truth is, when you click on that and it takes you to their website, most of us were just annoyed that we went to a website that we didn't want to go to and that we were tricked into clicking on this link. You know, it wasn't an authentic way of engaging with us. On the other hand, I'll give you a counterexample, which was about a year and a half ago, Gushers started releasing this line of advertising on Instagram, where they were posting their advertisements in the form of memes. And so there was a very popular meme about 2 years ago that was, it's called "Me versus the guy you told me not to worry about." And Gushers posted a picture of their product, a very good picture, and a very bad picture of a competitor. And they basically said, "Me versus the guy she told you not to worry about." And very immediately took off. But more importantly, as I was scrolling through my Instagram feed and I came upon that ad, you know, I stopped and looked at it. I thought it was funny. I laughed. And then when I went to see which account posted it, which of my friends posted it, I realized that it was a company that posted it. That's the type of advertising that doesn't stand out in our feeds. It doesn't, you know, make us turned off because we know it's an ad and we know that these platforms are just using those advertisements to make money. That's the type of advertisement that really engages with us and is really effective when it comes to Generation Z.
Okay, a couple things. First of all, you mentioned memes, and I'm looking at something else that somebody posted from a big advertising agency. It's sort of like an instruction manual for companies trying to reach your age group. And it says, "So how can we learn to speak their language effectively? This series will be focused on the unique forms of language used to communicate. First up, memes." What are memes? So they go on, and you've just said that you like it when one of these memes shows up in your feed and you don't know it's from a company till you look. That would drive me crazy. You don't feel invaded? Somebody trying to use you?
I think when you get to the point where there's so many people that are trying to use us, as you say, or trying to market to us, and are just doing such a terrible job doing so, that it's refreshing to see a company that's really trying to engage with us. You know, quite honestly, is most likely employing Gen Zers to make those memes for them.
Okay, just a quick lightning round of which words are still valid in your age group. T for gossip.
I think it's definitely valid. It's much less common than it was like a few months ago. But yeah, I would say it's so good.
Lit for something that's amazing. It's lit.
Lit has now become very ironic. So it's like You use lit in a joking way. But if an adult or a company were to use lit, we'd automatically cringe at that.
Okay. No wonder I got a cringe the other day. Draking for something that's emotional after, of course, the Canadian singer Drake.
I do not think that's a thing.
Okay. Ship, when someone thinks two other people should have one, a relationship?
It was really popular about 2 years ago, and it's much less popular now, but I don't think it would be, like, bad to say it.
I am so out of it, aren't I? Tell me, what's hot now?
Well, a big one that's coming up on Twitter is Stan, STAN. It's short for stalker fan.
Oh.
But now it really just means, it's a form of applause. So it's like, we stan Oprah, right? Means like, we love Oprah. Oprah's amazing. Oprah's fantastic, you know, Queen Oprah. Another good one is RIP, R-I-P. So obviously that has a common meaning of rest in peace, but people now use it kind of in very different ways. So I might take a test, and if I don't think it went well, I might walk out and say, RIP me. And that's a very common thing to say as well.
And just checking, sir, is that still what's up?
Maybe amongst some people, but not like that widespread.
Thank you. You've just sort of insulted me.
You know, what's important is that you're trying.
Thank you. That's Nick Jain, one of the co-founders and CEO of Juve Consulting, staffed entirely by young people ages 14 to 22, the Gen Z demographic. Nick, thanks so much.
Thank you for having me, Robin.